broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for January the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide as we promote the greatest country on the face of the earth. As you know, we believe the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers to be one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And without further ado, the good doctor's back in the house, Dr. Scott Bradley, whose lifelong pursuit and collegiate series to match to preserve the nation is all available at freedomsrisingsun.com. Doctor, hope you had a fantastic weekend, sir.
I feel like, again, we talk about this a couple of times, how quickly the year seems to be moving. One thing that's interesting to me is that January 31st marks the 416th anniversary of Guy Fawkes and his co-conspirators being executed in England. They were hanged and drawn and quartered. And it's a pretty ugly process, you might imagine, if you know anything about it. But, you know, it all goes back to the victors hang the heroes and write the history. And I think it was one of those things. Everybody in England celebrates Guy Fawkes, and they burn him in effigy and all this kind of stuff. Little do they know that the king, King James, was a tyrant, and he was trying to seek liberty for the people. But it was exposed, and he was executed. And I sometimes wonder how often that happens in our country, where the spin that goes on things is spun completely out of whack, and the people that are really trying to do the right thing for the right reasons end up being portrayed as the villains, you know. And so I guess sometimes we need to stop and pause when we get stories off the mainstream media that don't comport to what we really ought to be thinking about. So I don't know, interesting thing, 416 years ago, a guy that maybe ought to be mourned as being lost is celebrated by all of the, you know, UK countries because his plot against the king and parliament was failed, and he was executed, and they make it a big celebration. But I just can't help but think that maybe this was a kind of a genesis of a freedom movement in England because of the false monarchy that in the past and currently rules England. Anyway,
ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of, you got this big deal about Trudeau. Justin Trudeau ducks great trucker revolt. Massive rally takes place in Calgary in support of the Trucker Freedom Convoy. Rebelnews.com with the details. This convoy is huge. Mainstream press blackout on it in America. But look, this thing's got 50,000 truckers, and the thing is 40-plus miles long. They simply don't like this reality where Canada said anybody coming into Canada, if they're a trucker, must be vaccinated. And then the United States reciprocated and said, fine, anybody coming from, needs to be vaccinated to come into the United States. And the truckers are saying, look, we're not getting vaccinated. We're not doing that. We don't like this. That's not happening. The battle's on, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting. There's so many establishment viewpoint compulsory kind of things that are happening in something that, it's like, oh, no, we think you all ought to take chemotherapy to maybe prevent cancer someday in your life. And you say, well, that's asinine. That's one of the most stupid things you've ever heard of. But yet it has become not just a narrative, it is absolutely a script. And you know, I'll say it as kindly as I can. Perhaps at some point there'll be people that say, to heck with you. I'm not crossing your border at all, or I'm not going to go to your big game or your social event or whatever. I'm not going to play your game. And I really do believe there's enough of us out there that we could basically starve them out. If the Canadians think that they've got a full-blown, complete, standalone economy, they don't. And what's interesting to me, it was yesterday or the day before, I read an article about a company, I think they're out of Wisconsin, that's a spice company. They're kind of a boutique spice company. They sell vanilla and all that kind of stuff, I guess. Anyway, their CEO has gone on a tirade against Republicans. And so Republicans have said, to heck with you, we're not going to buy your stuff anymore. And so they've lost some percentage of their customer base, and now they're whining and crying because we need all the leftists to come in and buy gift cards from us to make up for our lost business. Well, yeah, okay. I think there is a leverage. It's a leverage point prior to violence, but I don't know how far away we are from that kind of stuff in some areas. But it's a leverage point where they say, no, we're not going to do business with people that have absolutely turned their back on things that mean a lot to us. And Canada may find themselves in that boat at some point where if they think they're going to get bananas across the border, something that came to mind, but I know they don't grow bananas that widely in Canada, okay? So anyway, there's probably a ton of products, a ton of things that consumers really want that the people in Canada are finally going to say to their idiot, buffoon, clown that's running their country, who is a spoiled brat raised in the lap of luxury, his history of blackface comedy and everything that he's doing. I don't know why people don't remember how these clowns started out. But at any rate, somebody's going to finally perhaps say, and it couldn't happen soon enough in my opinion, that we're sick and tired of your tyranny. We are not going to do it anymore. And maybe this trucker convoy is a wake-up call for those that are willing to be woken. Woken. That's an interesting term in today's world, isn't it? Anyway, if they can be awakened to their complete idiocy of the leadership of their nation, perhaps the nation can still be salvaged. Canada, there's so many good things about Canada. Not much about their government, but good things about Canada that, you know, I think they're our brothers and sisters in so many ways. You know, here their heritage and their interests and everything is kind of like the Brits and the Americans after the Revolutionary War. They really truly were brothers and sisters in every sense of the word, and yet their leadership is just tightening the screws on them. I applaud this trucker thing. I think it's a nonviolent way of bringing attention to things, but at the I don't know if their leadership's wise enough to understand it. I think that they think it's kind of like I heard of a town hall meeting or something back on the East Coast, and there was a discussion about farmers and their importance in society, and one of the snowflakes in the audience said, "What do we need farmers for? We've got grocery stores." Well, the supply chain truly is something that most people don't think too much about. I know in our society, and I don't know how it is in your area, Sam, but I'm noticing a lot of empty shelves, and I think, you know, we're being prepared for a Soviet-style economy, and I just think that could settle in very heavily on Canada if they turn their back on this protest and say, we'll show you who's really in charge of this. And Trudeau really is one of those kinds that doesn't understand that you need farmers to supply the grocery stores and you need truckers to deliver the products. So
Amen to that. And, you know, what's interesting about this, ladies and gentlemen, is Americans and Canadians and others around the world are peacefully trying to truly let their will be known, that we don't want to be locked down, that we don't want to be controlled, that we don't want to be forced. And some of the peaceful attempts have now spilled over into violence. And you got to really ask yourself, did it spill over into violence by accident, or was it provoked and created and manipulated, etc., etc.? And that's what I want to talk about today. They wanted you to believe that somehow a trucker went through some barricades. Well, it turned out that's not true. But these truckers are peacefully demonstrating, and I commend them. I think we have a right to peacefully assemble a 40-plus mile-long convoy. We have the right to peacefully assemble. But you know what? It's running off the rails, but the truth is coming out, and we in the media need to really double down and communicate this truth to enough people to really spread the word and circumvent the mainstream press. The mainstream press is losing credibility every day. So is the scientific community, okay? But this story, Dr. Bradley, I find very fascinating. Here's what it says. Oath keepers could not have done one of the major things of which they are accused of by federal prosecutors. What is that, you may ask? Forced their way into the U.S. Capitol Rotunda on January the 6th, 2021, through the, quote, famous Columbus doors. That didn't happen, says the attorney. I'll explain why in seconds, and we'll talk about it with Dr. Scott Bradley on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Live and on your radio, Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. The Oath Keepers could not have done what they're accused of doing by the U.S. Prosecuting Department on January the 6th, ladies and gentlemen. What are we talking about? The famous Columbus doors. If you haven't heard about them, they're two sets of historic doors that lead into the rotunda. They were opened by someone on the inside and not by his client, says defense attorney Jonathan Mosley. The 20,000-pound Columbus doors that lead into the rotunda on the east side of the U.S. Capitol are secured by magnetic locks and can only be opened from the inside using a, quote, security code controlled by Capitol Police, ladies and gentlemen. So it's impossible and cannot be done. So the attorney's now arguing, hey, you know what? I know you're saying the Oath Keepers literally forced their way inside, but it isn't true. Somebody opened the doors from the inside. I think this is a reality check the government's going to have to deal with that is serious, Dr. Bradley, making the point that somehow these people were basically led in to a slaughter, led into a dishonest, intentional, provocateur act. The doors being opened on the inside proved the point. This is something they have not been willing to dig into or talk about. They want you to believe it's an insurrection on the 6th. I agree there was an insurrection, but by whom? Certainly not the peaceful patriots like the truckers, like the folks that wanted to go to the Capitol to express their peaceful displeasure. This was a betrayal, and Jonathan Mosley, defending some of these clients, is proving the point. That's going to be something to reckon with, because it's pretty factual what he's saying there.
Well, it's interesting. Again, the image they're trying to portray is, you know, have fun storming the castle with these attacks. I don't, you know, it's almost like, oh, they brought their own battering rams and their catapults and everything, and they're breaking down, you know, our whole society based on that attack. As pointed out, that, you know, these doors weigh about 10 tons, okay? They're huge, and their locking mechanism is different than, you know, just walking up and somehow pushing on them and the doors opening up. And I believe it's something that, it kind of goes along with this Guy Fawkes thing we talked about at the beginning, of the idea that they spin, they create, they completely fabricate stories about things. It's kind of, now again, I'd probably be criticized for bringing this up, but some may remember back in the 1990s, the Ruby Ridge incident, in which Randy Weaver and his family were assaulted, literally, by federal agents. I believe a federal agent that died in it was probably assassinated by one of his own team members, but that's another long story that we can go into. But what came out in the trial ultimately, and that's what's cool about trials, is in this kind of unemotional setting of a court, the facts begin to be exposed. And this is what I think is happening with the Oath Keepers attorney. He's trying to bring it into this courtroom that they can be analyzed and peeled and looked at and understood where the real truth about things happen. I bring up the Randy Weaver thing because what was discovered, Jerry Spence was the defense attorney for Randy Weaver. They discovered that false evidence had been positioned by the FBI. They had actually literally falsified the evidentiary trail. And it was proven that the feds, were really, they were lying through their teeth is what boiled down to. And I just have to wonder, and by the way, the decision was made against the feds on that whole thing. And funds was totally inadequate, was awarded Randy Weaver's family with the murder of his wife and son. And but the fact of the matter is, this thing at the Capitol right now, it needs to be kind of, the onion needs to be peeled in the courtroom. And if you don't have a dishonest judge, I think that this will be a rather interesting exposure about who triggered the opening of the doors and facilitated what is now being basically presented as an absolute open insurrection against the United States government, kind of like the Reichstag fire in 1933 in Germany. It's a rallying point that is being attempted to be made to further constrain the liberty of the nation as they make false claims. We'll find out whether they're false or not, but if they get an honest review in the courts. And if it is in that, well, that light of just reasoned review is exposed of what really happened, this may flip on those that are trying to make this sound like the people that were there were trying to, you know, storm the castle and burn the country down. And I for one, look forward to it.
I hope we have honesty in the courts. I pray for the truckers. This is a lot of good news that's coming out. And the interesting thing about this is I don't really trust the courts. I don't have a lot of confidence in them, sadly so. But you know what? Sometimes when things are so blatant, so obvious, so detailed, they end up deciding they're going to go a different direction. I'll give you an example, the Ammon Bundy case. You know, I thought Ammon Bundy was just going to get slaughtered. But it turned out that there was a whistleblower, and it turned out that enough of the truth came out to where the judge, you know, we can commend the judge if we want to, and for, you know, basically calling a halt and saying the FBI was so criminal-like, we just got to jettison this case. And it's good, but at the same time, what it did was prevent all the information from coming out. Ammon Bundy and crew, with the whistleblower in hand, they were ready to go ahead and really blow the lid off and really demonstrate what the FBI and the Justice Department and possibly even the CIA was involved in doing and everything else. So it was an attempt by the judge to really prevent more from coming out so we can learn how evil and how the government really is. Well, this might be similar, too, where, you know what? If we're going to dig into the doors and who opened them from the inside, how much else can we dig into them? What else will get exposed along the way? The government gets scared of that, and sometimes they do the right thing to head off greater knowledge on our part and greater discovery as well. So they might do the right thing for the wrong reasons in this case, too. That's a very good possibility that we see, Dr. Bradley.
Well, absolutely. In your Bundy case with, what was her name, Navarro or something like that, Judge? I really do believe that she was trying to...
I think it was Anna Navarro or something like that.
Yes, I don't remember her first name. But anyway, she you say, oh, they won. It was all... everything cleared the deck. Everything was good. But I really do believe it was to facilitate a cover-up, if you will. And it's great the Bundys got off. But the fact of the matter is that there had been egregious violations, complete falsehoods...
Gloria Navarro, by the way.
Gloria, okay.
As
they spent 2 years in solitary confinement, basically. And, you know, we know the Bundys. I've spoken from the same podium as them at different times. And they're a gentle people. I mean, these are people that are soft-spoken, and they just want to, you know, have their rights and their blessings of liberty. And, you know, have they always done everything right? Probably not. But the fact of the matter is that the... tyrants that were seeking to, you know, and it's the Harry Reids of the world. I mean, you can take this right to that office, the things that were happening to them down in Nevada. But again, this is a situation where some things were brought forth, and as they started to pull on the strings, they started to say, whoa, do we want this evidence, this information out in public that will show the complete involvement of federal agents to very high levels in this effort to destroy not just a family but the principles of liberty, and it got shut down, and it's great it got shut down, but I hope that somehow, some way, these Columbus doors, and there's maybe dozens of other I don't know, incidents or little strings that could be pulled on that might show who really was pulling this thing into a something that they could build it into a rallying point against liberty and further shut down our liberty. So yeah, let's follow that closely.
Amen. Ray Epps is a big key, though. Ray Epps was seen on video literally threatening to breach the Capitol, saying that they were going to go in. The Patriots were trying to get him to stop. You have more and more and more evidence about the female that was shot. Literally by government police. She tried to stop the attackers and those who were rioting as well. We're starting to get more and more and more information on this, ladies and gentlemen. Now the Oath Keepers, they literally couldn't have done what's being claimed they did. You know, hey, I'm not saying some of these people are perfect along the way, but how many agitators within these groups are literally throwing the whole group under the bus? How many unique government assets were involved where? Whether they literally worked for the FBI, CIA, the Justice Department, whether they worked for some military something, or whether they were just hired by George Soros, or maybe, just maybe, they were involved with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Let's talk about what the record shows related to Black Lives Matter, and we'll tell you why we're talking about all this and correlating these in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Congressional negotiators are in danger of missing the February 18th deadline for passing the annual appropriations for fiscal 2022. A shutdown is unlikely, but members of the Senate Appropriations Committee from both parties warn that if negotiations fail, it will increase the likelihood that President Biden will have to settle for a year-long stopgap funding measure to keep the government open. North Las Vegas police are investigating a six-car crash with nine people dead in North Las Vegas over the weekend. The driver of a Dodge Challenger was speeding and ran a red light, causing the collision involving 15 people. North Las Vegas Councilwoman Pamela Goines Brown calls the crash senseless.
On behalf of the mayor and this council, our thoughts and our prayers are with the families who are experiencing a tremendous and unnecessary loss due to a careless sense of act.
USA Radio News.
I know you've been waiting a little bit longer than normal.
Jen's manicure spot needs an extra pair of hands.
Who's at the front desk right now?
Someone who's handy with everything from nail files to spreadsheet files.
Deidre's not coming in today, but we have that whole bachelorette party.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all natural testosterone booster, the safe, easy and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
The United Arab Emirates military said Monday it intercepted a ballistic missile fired at Abu Dhabi by Iran-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen just hours after Israel's president began a historic visit to the Persian Gulf country. The missile attack caused no injuries and fell harmlessly to the ground. Hunter Biden and two business associates received a grand jury subpoena regarding their business dealings in China about 17 months before the 2020 presidential election. The order sent by the Department of Justice to J.P. Morgan Chase Bank asked for the records of any international financial transactions for the past 5 years involving Hunter Biden, his uncle James Biden, and former business partners Devon Archer and Eric Sherwin. 50-year-old Hunter Biden disclosed the probe in a statement released by his father after the presidential election. In October of 2020, a computer hard drive holding the contents of Hunter's laptop contained a treasure trove of emails detailing his controversial overseas business dealings, as well as explicit photos and videos. USA Radio News.
Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen, FreedomSizingSun.com. We're talking about how Americans have made many peaceful attempts to really have government pay attention and listen to us. Remember, government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. That's the Declaration of Independence. And we have then delegated authority given to the federal government, very limited in scope, defined by the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. Anything not defined there and specifically delegated is reserved to the states and to the people. The 10th Amendment, therefore, your state constitution becomes important and vital as well. But we've really tried to be peaceful. The truckers' effort makes the point. But the mainstream press blacks out stories, manipulates the truth, and the press and the government seem to be in bed together on this big time. And so we're talking about the Oath Keepers could not have broken those big 20,000-pound doors and pushed their way in. Somebody opened the doors from the inside. The Epic Times with a big article on this. But I also want to highlight, though, you know what? They're pulling at straws, trying to make the conservatives, the patriots, the Christians, the constitutionalists, the whatever you want to say, into terrorists. They want to call us domestic terrorists. Even if you go down to your local school board and say something's wrong here, then you're a domestic terrorist, really dovetailing your local school board straight out with the FBI and the Justice Department. So you got connections, and we're seeing more and more of these connections and more of these peaceful attempts to go off the rails. But ladies and gentlemen, they're grasping at straws to try to make the average conservative guilty in this case. Meanwhile, the enemy of liberty, FBI, Justice Department, in many cases, rogue agents there, all the way down to your school board, But there are groups that are involved with him. You hear George Soros a lot. You also hear about the Black Lives Matter groups. And if you research their website, they are as hostile as it gets. Now, BLM co-founder, her name is Alicia Garza. And she says this when asked about what the goals of Black Lives Matter are. Ready? To dismantle the organizing principle of society. To dismantle the organizing principle of society. To erase history. To break down societal norms. Defund police. Turn cities into war zones. Disarm the populace. And more. Then you got to look at the violence that took place in 2020, 2021. And here it is. Don't forget the violence in 2020. After the death of George Floyd, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, I don't know if you know this, but there were 633 riots in the United States. Think about that. And these riots were the costliest unrest in American history. Okay? Out of control, ladies and gentlemen. But yet this is what we see, and they're blatantly publicly admitting, acknowledging, promoting this. Okay? Think about that. Right? You got the violence. 633 riots in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that number. Think about that massive, I don't know what word you want to call it, but agenda here. Right? This is just huge. And they're blatantly admitting this, talking about this, to the tune of billions of dollars in property destruction. Violence everywhere. But yet, the media, the government, pretty much ignores these people, Dr. Bradley, making them really, in my mind, part of the insurrection. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and we've talked about this a lot of times during your program, the Marxist origins of a lot of these things should be so readily apparent to anybody that's willing to spend a nanosecond thinking about them, about the fact that these ideas of disruption to society, the disruption of the foundations of society. It's interesting that all of these kinds of things are they're done purposefully and with complete focus on the fact that they have an end result desired. It's like when Marx and Engels were supposed to get the Communist Manifesto ready for publication by January of 1848. The communists had planned numerous uprisings, revolutions, insurrections throughout Europe during that spring and summer, and they needed some unifying document to bring these things together. They were really coordinated attacks on society. They had been prepared for many months, and they're not spontaneous responses. This thing with the Black Lives Matter so clearly follows the original communist methodology that it's uncanny. And again, because most of us don't, you know, review history and learn from history, it's like, oh my goodness, where did this come from? It was a spontaneous uprising, blah, blah, blah. Most expensive societal disruption things in America's history, and suddenly it just comes out of the woodwork. Well, and as you read there, the things that they're attempting to do, it's just shocking how closely it follows. Let's just look at what the communists want to do. They wanted to abolish all existing governments. Okay, they wanted to abolish government. Wait a minute. Well, that's what the Black Lives Matter are trying to do. You know, it's this, they want to establish a new dictatorship, the working class. You know, it's astonishing, the parallelisms, but most Americans have never even considered or reviewed history, and they don't know how closely these things are aligned with that. Now, by the way, it's interesting, the Black Lives Matter, of course they matter. Every life matters. And see, people say, oh, well, you're racist if you say white lives matter. No, but the fact is the Southern Poverty Law people have branded those that say all lives matter as being radical, racist subversives that need to be watched. And you talk about how over time these mergings of what shall we say, efforts against the good in favor of the bad have kind of gotten institutional approval. You remember, Sam, back in 2008 when Chuck Baldwin was running for president, and these fusion centers they identified those that had bumper stickers for, oh, Ron Paul or Second Amendment or anti-abortion or Chuck Baldwin, were identified as radical potential terrorist people. And you and I called into the Missouri Fusion Centers on a radio program live one day. I don't know if you remember this or not, but we got stonewalled and hung up on and everything because we were trying to get to the bottom of who was putting this together. Bottom line was, it was a federal government managed effort to make Second Amendment supporters, anti-abortion supporters, people that supported Ron Paul and Chuck Baldwin, you know, candidates who were standing for liberty in the American original way, they were identified by government agencies as potential terrorists. And it's just astonishing to me how these other organizations that are absolutely blatantly communist in their origins, in their principles that they're seeking to bring forth, are given a pass. And the people that are trying to say, no, let's not go down that path, are found by government agents to be potentially dangerous, that need to be completely controlled and contained and maybe even arrested and incarcerated. It's just astonishing.
So you really got to ask yourself, you know, is it the George Soros, the Black Lives Matter, the Antifa, the, you know, communists, the Hillary Clinton crowd, the Democrats, the, I don't know what word you want to use for them. Is that a greater threat, or is it government, or is it the media in bed with government? You know, who's the greater threat? And I don't know, but I know Americans have, really conservative Christian Americans have two great threats right now. That is government. And they're in bed with then all these other groups, from the George Soros to the BLM co-founder, Alicia Garza, these people, okay, they're all together. And I'm not sure which is the greater threat for us, because one would take violence to the streets, blame it on us. They did that in, what's it called, Ville? What's that place called? Charlottesville. They did that at the Capitol. So I don't know which is worse, the violence in the streets, violating our First Amendment, or government. It's all seems to be rolled into this big thing. But look, I can't peacefully assemble. If I do, then the Black Lives Matter will take it over and destroy it. The government will then say I had an insurrection. My peaceful assembly turns into an insurrection. I can't speak out on it because Facebook will shut me down. Can't go to church because, by golly, you know, you might spread COVID. Can't have a redress of grievance because the courts won't hear anything. They won't hear of it, whether it's election fraud or anything else. All five of your First Amendment guarantees are absolutely on the bonfire as they try to destroy liberty. Dr. Bradley will respond in just seconds. Let me just take this quick break. I'll have you just tear it up on the other side, Dr. Bradley. Hang tight. Dr. Bradley's website, by the way, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check out his collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation. Back in seconds on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. I was making the point right before the break. You know what? I don't know which is the worst enemy. The government in bed with the media, trying to basically call parents and conservatives and Christians literally domestic terrorists, or whether it's these Black Lives Matter people violating all of our First Amendment rights. You know, between that and the government, man, which is the greater enemy? The reality is the American people, anytime they exercise any of their First Amendment rights, flat out shut down, misrepresented, and then the media just runs with the ball and really, really upsets the landscape. This is serious. The reason that I bring it up so serious, Dr. Bradley, is because eventually I think the conservatives are going to lose their patience. And if they do, and they decide they're going to take greater action, then what happens? That's the concern. You were saying right before the pause, you were responding to this, violations of all of our First Amendment rights, sir.
Well, indeed, all of the First Amendment rights have been, if you will, placed on the altar and sacrificed to the god of globalism and false government. And, it's interesting, the First Amendment is where it is because, we do have this religious thing and the speech and the press and the assembly and petitioning government. All of that is absolutely essential. It is the peaceful means by which our society is maintained. And there's a stability that's brought to society with all of these things. And then you might say, well, the Second Amendment is in case the First Amendment doesn't work. But the point of the matter is the Second Amendment is under blatant attack right now. And you look at what's happening, for example, with Australia and Canada. The tyranny has become, we started out with the Canadian truckers thing. The tyranny that's being implemented in those countries is unbelievable. I mean, these are people that have a heritage just like us. These are people that came out of they were free men, women, this is a general term. They were a free people based upon the origins of, you go back to Blackstone's Commentaries on the Law. These are the rights of free men. Commentaries on the Law tells where freedom is found for the people of the British, original UK, if you will, England, and it was exported to Canada, it was exported to Australia, and now look what's happening there. Well, there's something that's very common between the two. Both societies are completely, basically disarmed. They have had tyrants over the years, and it was quite a number of years ago that the Australians had a big buyback policy where they bought back the firearms And now they're just being run roughshod by the whole program that the Australians have happened. I fear for the people of Australia and for Canada. But it's interesting, if we will renew our understanding of these things and we will become defensive of those things, make our voices heard. It's interesting, you've advertised a time or two our lecture series and so on, and you talk about who's involved in this. Well, certainly the big tech and the big media and the political world and the big money, I mean, they're all complicit. They're all part of it. This is their tentacles reach into almost everything. But there are venues that we can go to kind of gain understanding. And your program is something I know you try very hard every day to make it happen. I just was looking through some of the emails I got over the weekend. Here's a woman that writes, "Your lectures are amazing. I'm listening to them with my 12-year-old and hope to spread the knowledge as we learn. We're your lifetime fans. God bless you with all the work you do." Another one, a husband and wife, truckers, that listen to these lectures as they go across the country. And they said that they listen to them start to finish, then they start them over again. They say, you know, they by the time they're done listening to them, they're weeping because of the fact that the nation has abandoned so much. But then they kind of get the renewed hope and they start them over again. It's kind of like rereading the scriptures in a sense that we realize that we do have a sound foundation. And those are the kind of things that have got to happen. You know, Sam, that we were deplatformed. We had 1,500 videos. They were painstakingly put together, hundreds and hundreds of hours of effort to help people understand the basis of our liberty. And the powers that be decided we weren't their flavor. We weren't their, you know, we didn't have their focus that they wanted. And they completely destroyed 1,500. They're just gone. Poof. Everything's gone. If you go and you look at these previous videos, video unavailable kind of thing. You get this black screen that comes up. It really is a tragic travesty. And they have reached these private tech companies that were, many of them helped to be developed by taxpayer dollars, have become instruments of government oppression. And they're helping the falsehoods be facilitated. And, of course, they have deep pockets with, as you've brought out a couple of times, the likes of George Soros are funding things like this. And it's the part of the problem is I don't know where all the funding's coming from. It's like such a large portion of the funding for the Communist Revolution in 1917 in Russia came from the United States. There were people like, they were communists that came out of the United States that went over there to facilitate the overthrow of freedom in Russia. And so some of these people that look like they're kind of somewhere part of America's heritage are helping overthrow our freedom. So we've got to look at these other sources and focus on them. And if enough people come to understand, we can regain everything, if we will. But if we become, we're more interested in a Super Bowl game than what's being preached here, we probably will lose what was won at such great cost, you know? So, I don't know.
I pray the answer is no, sir. But I predict the answer is going to be yes. And the reason I say that is because, again, there's not morality in the people, Dr. Bradley. And I know we go back to this all the time, but I think it's really, really relevant and important to do so. Look, if we're not a moral and a religious people, what puts us above the other guys? The fact that we just don't want to engage in violence? The fact that we don't want to engage in dishonesty and lies and deceit and manipulation? The fact that we don't really want to promote tyranny? But as long as we're titillated with bread and circus, and sadly, now as it gets more violent, blood and circus, I don't see that we have a prayer unless we turn to our God, the author of our liberty, repent and change. A moral and a religious people will have liberty. Those who don't understand that will lose all their freedoms. This is not a game. This is not an opinion. This is a reality check, Dr. Bradley.
Well, there is a moral imperative, and I've got a chapter in my book that talks about that at length, because honestly, it's a central theme to even beginning to preserve our blessings of liberty is this moral imperative. It's chapter 9, by the way, in my book, in case anybody's interested. But in there, I review many of the different things that the Founding Fathers said about virtue and morality and religion and its imperative nature if we're to retain our liberty. We are not a secular state, as everyone would have us believe. We began as a religious foundation, not a sect, but our desire to have the privilege of worshiping our Almighty God and pleasing our God as we came to understand His will in our lives. And it's just astounding to me that we have abandoned those things. And as we've done so, our liberty has been diminished. Here's a letter I often use from 1785 that Thomas Jefferson wrote to his nephew, Peter Carr, in Virginia. Jefferson, as you may well know, was in France at the time as our ambassador. And he admonished his nephew. He says, "Pursue the interests of your country, the interests of your friends, and your own interest also, with the purest integrity, with the most chaste honor. The defect, these virtues can never be made up by all the other acquirements of body and mind. Make these then your first objective. Give up money, give up fame, give up science. Give the earth itself and all it contains, rather than do an immoral act. And never suppose that in any possible situation or under any circumstances, it is best for you to do a dishonorable thing, however slightly so it may appear to you. Whenever you're about to do anything, though it can never be known but to yourself, ask yourself, how would you act were all the world looking at you, and act accordingly. Encourage all your virtuous dispositions." There's just one little letter to a nephew. And, you know, it's like if we applied those principles, but the head of our government does not. It's lies, lies, and more darned lies is basically what's happened. We find those that sit in the seats of judgment of this government very often are driven by an agenda that is un-American in its origins and far more Marxist than we can possibly imagine. And they're gaining ascendancy. And because we're distracted by the entertainments of the day, Babylon, if you will, Americans are letting it slip through their fingers. It's a very tragic situation that we find.
But there is hope, ladies and gentlemen. We do have the greater numbers. There is always the opportunity to turn to our God and repent. He will bless us if we do. The supreme law of the land still is the blueprint for liberty. People can insist on divisions of power. And chaining down those who lord over us with the United States Constitution and their state constitutions. There is hope, folks, as we prepare and we create a remnant of people prepared to receive the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. We may not fix the whole nation. We may not bring along the masses, but we can seek for, find, and work with those people who will become God's people. That is happening. Never forget it. And the good news is there will be a people to welcome their God when he returns. There will be a people prepared. The flag will be blown in the breeze when Christ returns. That's the good news, Doctor.
Well, that's what we're seeking to bring about. But salvation is an individual thing. I mean, we don't get collective salvation, you know, in God's kingdom. I mean, there's... each of us will stand before that great judge and be judged according to our works, our intents, our heart, all those kinds of things. I mean, it'll be a perfect judgment, but just because you make it doesn't mean I'm going to, you know? And we need to recognize that this individual salvation thing really is something we need to be working on. We begin with ourselves. We go to our family. We take it into our churches and our communities, and we seek to stand for all the goodness that could possibly be done on earth. And it's kind of like everybody sweeping their front porch, as they used to talk about in the old world. If everybody swept their front porch, you know, the whole community would be cleaner, you know? And so that's the thing we've got to do. It's small beginnings, just like the Savior's kingdom on earth from the millennium, beginning of
meridian of
Christian
time.
Era. All right. So
there you have it,
go.
Ladies and gentlemen. We can make a difference, folks. I agree salvation is an individual reality, but I also agree that we can work together and our greater numbers can provoke, peacefully enact change, return to our founding father-esque understanding of the proper role of limited constitutional government. The proper role of government, if you will. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website, our websites, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.